You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Talk some Odell Beckham Jr. Haven't talked about him much this season, which is what happens when you haven't done much this season. When he was traded to Cleveland back in March, the thought was that he and Baker Mayfield were going to light it up. They've in fact done the opposite. Baker is struggling and Odell is 29th in receiving yards per game. Yesterday, OBJ was asked if he wants to stay in Cleveland. Take a listen.
What's the future hold? I don't know that. I don't know the answers for that. You know, right now I'm just taking it a day at a time, trying to finish the season healthy, trying to win these last four games and see what happens. No one knows what the future holds like tomorrow. Like, I couldn't tell you what's going to happen. I couldn't sit here and tell you whether I'm going to be here, want to be here, don't want to be here. This is exactly where I'm at now. And I wouldn't rather be anywhere else, you know? So it's something that, like I said, God has a plan. And in the offseason, everything will figure itself out. I feel like I've been here before asking questions about the next team while I'm on a team already. And that's just kind of something that I'm just tuned out for right now. And you catch me in the offseason and we'll see what happens. I don't know God's plans. You know, I just follow his lead.
Danny, that right there is the definition of vague. You could have put this to bed or at least made this a 15-second yes. comment instead of a two-minute comment where it is open-ended with 3,000 doors. But what did you make of what Odell had to say?
Why are you still talking after the first phrase that's uttered your mouth?
I agree.
The only thing you should say there is, what are you guys talking about? Why am I even being asked this question? So you silence it, you put it to bed, immediately question is asked. We were talking in the pre-show. I'm like, why was this question even asked? It was some, you know, crazy
some
report that without
Twitter.
A lot of credibility yeah. was posed this question. That's what Odell should have responded with. The part that's disappointing about this for me is it made all the Odell critics, it proved them right. Because at the beginning of the season, the question was asked, yes, there's a tremendous amount of talent on this team, but what happens if Odell doesn't get his touches, or Jarvis Landry doesn't get his touches, or this team starts to implode? What happens then? And it's going to be a disaster. It's going to be a soap opera. And this proves all those critics right. Why can't you just silence them and say, no, it makes no sense to me why a professional doesn't know how to understand a question like that and just put it to bed.
So Odell, this is breaking news to me. Odell's got a no trade clause? No, does he? Can you guys tell me that? Because I don't think so, right?
No.
So Odell is responding to, and it was prior to this tweet about whether or not they were going to trade him. Has there been a lot of speculation that the Browns pre-deadline should trade him for offensive line help? That was like a thing, right? I mean, our friend Colin talked about it, that the Browns went too big on luxury items, not enough on foundational pieces. Was Odell part of that fight? I don't remember. I don't think
no.
he was.
Has he been
a distraction
nope.
at all?
Not at all.
And so he proves them right by giving an honest answer, which is, I don't know what's going to happen, because he doesn't know what's going to happen. Did he say, I don't want to be there? No. In fact, he said, Jarvis Landry's one of my best friends in the world. Now, Odell has never done himself favors in regards to just giving the 15-second mm-hmm. cliche answer. But this is one of our favorite media hobby horses, which is killing the athlete for being bland and the rare athlete that will actually take a question and then speak without calculating what I'm going to say. Well, I don't know. You know, it does seem like people ask me this a lot. You know, my best friend's here, but he's what he didn't say, he's probably thinking, this obviously hasn't gone as well as we thought it would. What he also didn't say, but is true, I didn't ever ask to be traded here. And what he didn't say, but what is true, is somehow I got a worse quarterback this year than I had last year with Eli. No one saw that coming. So I don't know what's going to happen in the future. How that is twisted to Odell is part of the problem, proving his critics right. Odell is having a worse season statistically than anyone could have imagined. And he has not been any type of distraction. He has not been any type of bad teammate. He has not been part of the problem in Cleveland. And so it seems like both of you want him to just flatly lie, be asked about it, say, I have no idea what you guys are talking about. Never heard any trade rumors surrounding me. Of course, I'm going to be a Brown for life. Okay. I mean, that's fine. I would say it makes these shows a lot less interesting. It makes him a lot less earnest as a person. I will take authenticity over fraudulence every day of the week. And I don't think what he said there was wildly polarizing or out of bounds. He didn't throw any teammate under the bus. He didn't attack anyone. He gave an honest answer. I don't know what's going to happen because he doesn't know what's going to happen.
There is 100% a double standard in our business, right? Because we want colorful quotes. We want things to talk about. And then when they give them, we're going to crush them for it.
But that's a choice. But
I also think authenticity can sometimes, you have to be smart and aware of when to be authentic and when to know when to silence a dumb question. The phrase that I had a problem with said, I can't tell you if I want to be here or not be here. Why not? Like, why can't, and then, like, what message do you send to your teammates then? You are on the Browns now. It's not the time to be authentic and say, well, yeah, this team is not good. Or like any of these to further this rumor and just continue and give them fuel to the fire. I mean, the players know the drill as well. They know that the more I keep talking and if I give them things, I'm going to be the center of attention, which I do think is a problem with Odell. It always has been. I think he knew where this was going to go if he opened up this can of worms.
I fully understand what you're saying, and I appreciate what you're saying. I think it makes shows like ours much better when we have fodder and stuff to talk
about. So we can rip them now.
That being said, is there one team that needs to focus more on actually just playing football and not on more reporters asking questions that aren't football related than the Cleveland Browns right now?
He doesn't decide what's asked of him.
Right, but he decides how he answers the question. And maybe he's not completely authentic right here with an answer like, this is where I want to be. But all this does, Nick, and you know it, is now this becomes a conversation starter. Now more reporters come in. It could have been. It could have been ended. We could have just focused on
football.
Hold on.
Be honest with me, both of you. So if Odell says, no, I'm a Brown. Yep. I'm a Brown for life. There's not Odell Beckham trade speculation the moment the season ends. Really?
No. But that's the moment the season ends.
Yeah.
If there is a belief that the Browns are in a worse position against the Bengals this week because of that 20 seconds right there, that's a boat I'm not going to get on. And Danny, you saying, yeah, we're unfair, it's a double standard, that's only because people do it. Everyone's allowed to take my position, which is honesty's good, we're not going to kill you for it. That isn't a viable position to take. People choose not to take it. But the part of this that is so frustrating to me is, I think most smart football people think it would be in the Browns' best interest this summer to consider trading Odell Beckham. I think most smart football people think it would be in Odell Beckham's best interest to be traded. And yet, he simply says, I don't know, when I think most people think the best thing for all parties might be to go to a different football team with a more stable situation that doesn't already have legitimate weapons. And if he just says the logical answer, we kill him because he's Odell Beckham Jr.
But what you're saying there would prove the critics right, because the critics have said he's all the talent, but he's simply not worth it. Then you'd have the Giants making that decision. Having the Browns.
I'm curious.
No, I know. And how would the Browns be doing without him too? I think would be a good question. But it does beg the question. It does make his critics right. If teams are passing on him saying, you know what, he might have all this talent, but we're going to move on to shore up another position. That doesn't happen with world-class wide receivers.
The critics were supposed to be proven right when the Giants got better moving on from the distraction. I think they've lost 10 straight games.
Eight
straight games, pardon me. They were 2-2. Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Straight games.
They weren't that good with him.
Fair enough. But that's fine. The advice to athletes, if you want to be protected, do Kawhi. It'll be much better for us and for you. Just do what Kawhi does and we'll all be good. I just want to engage in it.
to Thursday Night Football. Now, last night, the Bears handed Dallas their third straight loss. Cowboys have now lost 7 of their last 10 games, and questions swirling yet again about Jason Garrett's status with the team. However, after the game, Jerry Jones said he will not make a coaching change this week. Nick, is Jerry making a mistake sticking with Garrett?
Of course. I mean, this is, I said after the Patriot game, and it was tough because they were on a super short week. They were going to play 4 days later on Thursday, so it might not have been viable. There's no reason not to fire Jason Garrett. And then after the Bills game, when it was a regular week, it was Thursday to Thursday, but regular time, 7 days, said there's no reason not to fire Jason Garrett. And now they actually have an extended week. They've gone from 4 to 7 to 10. Now that you have extra time, and you have another awful performance, and there's no reason not to fire Jason Garrett. This is the definition of an underachieving team. Have you done in close games? Oh, you're 0-5. Games side by 7 points or less. Have you done against good teams? Oh, you're now 0-6 against teams with a winning record. You're a front-running team that has clearly, there's going to be a narrative today, maybe the Cowboys aren't that talented.
That's wrong.
It's wrong. That maybe we just, you know how I know they're talented? They have the 10th ranked defense and the number one offense in football. The number one offense last year was Kansas City. They had the number one seed. 2 years ago was New England. They had the number one seed. 3 years ago, it was New Orleans. They went 7-9, but they had the 29th ranked defense to go along with it. 4 years ago, the number one offense was Arizona. They went 13-3. If you have the number one offense, unless you just have an abysmal defense, Cowboys got 10th ranked defense, you are an excellent team. Unless you can't win close games, you can't make plays in the critical moments, and you constantly get out-schemed by your opponent. Check, check, check. If coaching matters in the NFL, Danny,
yep,
which I would argue it matters more in the NFL than any of the other major sports as far as head coaching advantages, the Cowboys are at a major disadvantage. Every week they continue with Jason Garrett.
What would your option be, though? Are you going to elevate Rod Marinelli? Are you going to elevate Kellen Moore, John Kitna, like somebody from that staff?
I think I'd elevate Chris Richard, to be totally honest, and let the coordinator stay and elevate Chris Richard.
All right, so if that's the option there, it's not a bad option, but is that the difference maker? And you never know until you do it. I think one of two things need to happen. You either fire Jason Garrett, if you're Jerry Jones, or you stop talking to the media and keep the speculation going. Because a couple weeks ago, it was, hey, I'm going to try to put pressure on this team and say that, you know, losing is unacceptable and I might make changes. Then you come out after Thanksgiving, you say, 0% chance I'm making a change. Now you kind of, you know, then during the week, he says Jason Garrett's going to coach in the NFL
somewhere
without endorsing him. Jerry Jones is a part of this problem, too. That's something that doesn't get talked about enough. It is dysfunctional the way he runs this organization, the way he gets involved in a lot of the decision making, the way he holds press conferences after every single game and gives us all stuff to talk about and adds additional pressure to this team who clearly is not handling it well right now. So one of those two things are going to happen. I don't think either of them do, though, because what's the point of this game? Is that really going to be the difference if you get rid of Jason Garrett? Is that going to put you over the hump? No, his contract's done. Just let it play out. It'll be easy for you. If you're Jerry, it'll be an easy decision to make. That's what I think he's falling back on. And what happens if? What happens if they do win the NFC East and all this
but
talent puts it together?
But then I want a different coach in place.
If you want that to happen, what if they are able to fight through it? We've seen other teams struggle at times.
If they are able to fight through it, go ahead.
I was going to say at minimum. So here's the thing. I don't think it's if you're NFC East, you're keeping, you know, because that's the worst division in the history of football. I don't think it's if you win a playoff game. I think you have to go to the NFC Championship game to keep Jason Garrett. And then it's there for you.
Which
and if
they're
he does,
drawing dead for. No, right. And my point is because of the talent, if all of a sudden they had an infusion of a great head coach, and I'm not saying, we have no idea if Chris Richard would even be an average head coach.
Right.
But I know what Jason Garrett is. At this point, I would take the unknown over the known because what I'm about to show you is unacceptable. The Cowboys' points scored, points allowed, yards forced, yards allowed, compared to, I'll just tell you that team is in a moment. They've scored more points. They've allowed fewer points. They have 1,000 more yards on the season. They've allowed fewer yards. Who's the other team? Show me, please. This 10-2 Seattle Seahawks. You know how a team can have scored fewer, allowed more, 1,000 fewer yards, allowed more yards? Because of two people. Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson makes the critical plays in the critical spots, and Pete Carroll always has his team ready to take a punch. Pete Carroll can Jedi mind trick his team into saying, we're going to punt the ball away, crazily, with a minute 40 left in overtime with no timeouts, and we're still going to win this game, boys. And somehow they do. Like, you can't acquire Russell Wilson, but you can change the head coach to hope to find your Pete Carroll.
Well, you were a player. You were in locker rooms. Would a coaching change like this, is this something that can actually galvanize a team? I mean, this is a very talented team that seems like they are fractured right now.
They absolutely are. They are the
opposite. An unknown commodity in a new head head coach for the first time. Could that actually galvanize a team?
It could. It could. I mean, sometimes there's a sense of urgency that needs to be, you know, a change needs to be made to spur something different. The problem is, I think that only adds to the panic level. You mentioned the Seahawks. They are the definition of a clutch football team. And right now, the Cowboys are the antithesis of that. Like, I don't even know what the word is for anti-clutch, but they cannot get it done when it matters the most. They're great. First quarter, opening drives. They have a scripted set of plays. They go right down the field.
And they haven't even been great with that. That's only the last 2 weeks they've been able to score first.
It is inexplicable how this happens, but I don't think changing a coach is all of a sudden going to rattle the cage and all of a sudden they figure it out
will either, but I know that the status quo is going to lead to, if they win the division, getting crushed at home by either Seattle, who they could play as a 5 seed.
I don't think that's a done deal. I mean, if you had me put money on a team, I would clearly put those. But what happens if all the stats you give me, top 10 defense, Zeke puts it together. What if he rushes for over 120?
They start off 7-0, get punched in the face and fold. And by the way, on that comparison, credit to Football Perspective on Twitter, who brought it up last night. I saw it. I thought it was great. So I'm going to put it on the show.
All right. Here, Chris Caney. We're talking Patrick Mahomes. We're talking Tom Brady. We're talking Sunday in Foxborough when we get to see the 24-year-old versus the 42-year-old. Both quarterbacks have not played up to their MVP standards this season. However, there is no doubting their accomplishments. Danny, who do you trust more?
Danny's going to go first on
Mahomes
this.
Or Brady?
I'm excited to hear this.
You know, this whole segment, I took over. I should get co-producer's credit on this segment because I said, can we please do who do you trust more at quarterback after the last time I was on here? We did Carson Wentz or Tom Brady. How did that work out?
Who won the game
was the answer. It's the GOAT. Like, you have to give Tom Brady credit for what he's done throughout his career. I know statistically, you can come up with a lot of evidence that says he is not performing the way he did throughout the majority of his career. But I will remind you, he still is one of the guys that just figures out a win. He doesn't care about throwing for 300-yard games. He doesn't care, hey, how many touchdowns do I have? He cares about winning, which is the ultimate stat. I have a question for you.
Yeah, please.
Do you know Tom Brady's record playing at Gillette against the entire AFC with Julian Edelman?
42-0.
42-0. Yeah. Who are you going to trust more in this spot? Mm-hmm. The quarterback who comes in, and he's a hot, young, shiny new toy.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is awesome. Or the guy who has yet to lose a game with the entire AFC when he's had Julian Edelman at his side.
Edelman.
For 10 years. That's been a decade running.
It's been a decade run. You're absolutely right. And I'm so excited that my guy's going to be able to be the one to end that. And just like I was very excited, full disclosure, last year, that I thought it was going to be my guy, Patrick Mahomes, in the stadium that I grew up going to was going to be the team that ended the Patriots run. Instead, Chiefs lost, and they lost in overtime in a game that Patrick Mahomes threw three touchdowns, took the lead in the fourth quarter two separate times.
They were great
and
stats.
Tom Brady, a guy who just knows how to win, not only threw an interception in that game in the end zone, but threw another interception. And then threw another interception to lose the game, but D Ford's little fingertips were lined up right over the line.
Hey.
And so a new narrative was written. But this is an obvious, easy answer. Who do you trust more right now? Would you rather have Giannis or Wilt? Well, Wilt, God bless him, has passed away. Giannis still playing. Like, the idea of because you're the GOAT, every week you get to be it. It's not how it works. You have to perform up to that level. Right now, Tom Brady is the second highest rated passer in the AFC East because Josh Allen has overtaken him. This is an unfair fight. You have a 24-year-old future Hall of Famer ascending towards his prime. You have a 42-year-old GOAT who is now not only on the back end, but playing the worst football he's ever played, rookie season included. So to me, Canty, the answer is obvious. And 32 GMs out of 32 GMs would say Patrick Mahomes, any situation, any scenario, over Tom Brady in 2019.
Well, here's the thing. Tom Brady isn't playing good football, but I think that has more to do with the lack of weaponry on that team than it does the decline in his performance. But I do believe that there's a first time for everything. So that 42-0 at Gillette Stadium against the AFC, that could change this weekend just because if you're asking me who I trust the most on Sunday in terms of a production standpoint, it has to be Pat Mahomes because Pat Mahomes has the fastest wide receiver in the National Football League. He's got the best receiving tight end in the National Football League, and he's got one of the most innovative offensive minds the game has ever seen in Andy Reid as his head coach. So I think that Pat Mahomes will be in a position to have success. Now it's just a matter of Pat Mahomes being patient and taking what that Patriots defense gives him. Now, that Patriots defense got lit up by Deshaun Watson and that Texans passing offense. I think it was 4 touchdowns this past Sunday night. So we haven't seen that from that secondary this entire year. But we do know that traditionally Bill Belichick coached defenses, they struggle against mobile quarterbacks. And oh, by the way, who are their 2 losses to this season? Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. So I think Pat Mahomes has an opportunity to have success on the road in Gillette, but it's just a matter of him being patient and not trying to force the ball down the field. Being willing to take the check down, being willing to continue to put drives together, keep the chains moving. I think he can get himself in trouble if he tries to push the ball downfield and it's not there against this secondary.
Since we have our little circle of trust here, I'm going to open up with you. The last time, when we had that debate last time with Brady or Wentz, and Brady got the best him. I was going to take to Twitter, but I was like, you know what? It wasn't an emphatic win statistically. You couldn't.
And Brady wasn't any good in that game.
I am not holding back. If he wins this game, I don't care if he throws 3 interceptions. If he wins, that should be the ultimate stat there. I think the thing that we're missing out on is who Tom. Yes, Patrick Mahomes is going to get challenged from the Patriots. We're sure Bill Belichick is going to have a game plan for him. The Chiefs' defense is still a liability, especially against the run. And I think that's where Brady, for the first time all season, may not have to throw it so many times. He's already on pace to have his career high in pass attempts, which, you know, look at Peyton Manning. When he won the Super Bowl and rode off in the sunset, had his worst season statistically.
And they were limiting
way worse than this. Yeah. But they were trying to limit his exposure. The Patriots are doing the opposite. They're putting more pressure on Tom Brady with a lack of weapons, which is why I think you're seeing that those numbers decline. But eventually, I do think they figure it out. And I think the Chiefs' defense is exactly what's going to come at the right time.
Well, then the Texans should have, because the Texans with 31st third down defense, 32nd red zone defense, bottom 5 pass defense, and Tom Brady found himself with 9 whole points with 4 minutes left in that football game. Now, at the end of the game, had a little Dak Prescott-style garbage stats to make it look better. But Tom Brady, since week 6 against the Giants, has 8 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and has not had a single game with a pass rating north of 100. And I know how we do the math on this. When the Patriots play well, it's the defense, and Brady was amazing. And when they play poorly, it's, man, Belichick didn't have that defense ready to play, and Brady's weapons. How can you blame him? The idea that Tom Brady is just working at such a deficit this year compared to other quarterbacks, I reject. Does he have the weapons Patrick Mahomes has? No, not when they're both fully healthy, but Tyreek Hill missed a month and a half, and then Patrick Mahomes missed time. The Chiefs were without their left tackle. The Patriots were without their center after losing him early in the year. Both teams missed a guard throughout the season. We do this extra math for Brady because he has earned our respect. Now, he hasn't earned the team's respect enough for them to give him the contract extension he wanted this offseason, but he's earned our respect because he's the greatest, not just quarterback, with respect to Jerry Rice and Jim Brown, he's the greatest football player ever. But it comes to an end for everyone at some point. And if I'm right, and if Canty's right, and the Chiefs, you have the Chiefs this weekend, correct?
Or no, I've got the pass.
Oh, okay. All right, I just didn't want to steal it from
you. I've got the pass.
Okay, so if I'm right, and the Chiefs win this weekend, the Patriots are going to have to stare at this reality. There are 3 teams other than the Patriots in the AFC that really matter. Baltimore, whooped them. Houston, whooped them. And the Chiefs, if I'm right, You go 0-3 against the teams you're going to have to beat to get to the Super Bowl. The reality that I believe is very clear is going to become clear to everyone else, which is the Patriots this season are not equipped to make their record-tying fourth straight Super Bowl, even if the record says they are.
But you can't sit here and say, well, the weapons that Patrick Mahomes and Brady are working with are remotely similar.
No, but the weapons that Russell Wilson and Brady are working with are damn near identical.
That's different. You didn't say that.
No. Are damn near identical.
All right.
And Russell Wilson might be an MVP.
But that's a significant difference.
No, but both teams have dealt with injuries on the offensive line. Both teams have dealt with guys being in and out of the lineup. We don't, with Mahomes, the discussion is he even the best quarterback in the AFC anymore? With Brady, the discussion is everyone's fault but his, which is because he's a 42-year-old man and we're nice to older people, which we should be.
You guys aren't nice to me.
But, oh, touche. Good point.
Time to play a little take your pick. On Sunday, Jimmy G and the 49ers' dominant defense will face a stiff test in Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara. Who's got the edge, the Niners' defense or the Saints' offense? Danny, take your pick.
This is a hard one for me, but I'm going to go with the Saints' offense here. Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, I think you're going to see a steady dose. Similar to what we were talking about, the Patriots getting the run game going, I think that's a way to take some of the pressure off of Drew Brees. I think you get the run game going. You got Michael Thomas, who is lighting up the entire NFL. I know the San Francisco 49ers playing outstanding on defense, but playing at home, I'll take the Saints' offense.
You're right. The one place that 49ers' defense can be had is in the run game, but I also think that Drew Brees and Sean Payton will use the short passing game as an extension of the run game. The last thing you want Drew Brees to do is to hold the ball against that 49ers front, get the ball out of his hands quickly. I think that's where they have the advantage.
We're going to make it a clean sweep here. We're all going to go Saints offense. In that building, knowing that everything they want is in front of them with this win, they are in great position for the one seed in the NFC, something they had last year they thought should have carried them to the Super Bowl if not for the blown call. The Saints can just beat you so many different ways. They can beat you with both types of defense and both types of offense, passing and rushing in both regards. So I like the Saints in this game, and I like the Saints' offense ability to keep the Niners off balance, because you can't just blitz or send your full pass rush at them because they have the ability to run the football on you.
Clean sweep. You all take the Saints. Let's move on. Last night, the Cowboys suffered another loss. However, they are somehow, some way, still in the playoff race because nobody wants to win the NFC East. Which quarterback, though, do you trust more to lead their team to the playoffs? Dak Prescott with the Cowboys or Carson Wentz with the Eagles? Danny, take your pick.
Man, this is not like the best options to choose from, especially from what we've seen unfold lately. I think it is a hard decision. I'll go with Carson Wentz. At least this team I've seen respond to some adversity earlier in the season. Remember, they were just left for dead, and there was all these speculation that players in that locker room doubted whether Carson Wentz was the right guy, or if it was Nick Foles who's playing in Jacksonville, all those things. At least they responded once in that situation. Dak has played excellent all season long, but when you need him to come up big in those big moments, he has come up short lately, so I'm going to lean with Carson Wentz.
Yeah, it's hard for me to lean with the quarterback that just lost to the Dolphins in Miami, but I mean, I guess it wasn't his fault. That defense led Ryan Fitzpatrick put up, what, 37 points? But I mean, I got to go with Dak Prescott just from the sample size that we've seen from both guys throughout the course of their career, and then the production that we've had from Dak to this point in the season. Even though I don't like the way that either quarterback is playing, I'll lean toward Dak Prescott.
I still think Philly's going to win the division, so I'm going to go with Carson Wentz. The entire NFC East has three wins, three as a whole division, against teams above 500. They are all via the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles, to their credit, as mediocre as they've been, they've gone to Green Bay and won. They've gone to Buffalo and won. They beat the Chicago Bears team that the Cowboys just got embarrassed by last night. So Philadelphia, at least when they play well, we know they can beat quality opponents. Carson Wentz is part of that, despite him having a substandard year. So I say Carson Wentz.
All right, on to the biggest game of the weekend. Patrick Mahomes still looking to pick up his first win against the Patriots in his young career. What is he, 0-2?
He's 0-2.
Ofer's Ofer.
Hey, he's still Ofer. Which quarterback will have the better performance on Sunday, Mahomes or Brady? Danny Cannell, take your pick.
I'm going with Tom Brady, the GOAT. I think it does have to do with the challenge he's going to be faced with will be significantly less than what Patrick Mahomes is going to have to go against. So I'm going to go with Brady. He gets the win. By the way, Dusty came up with some great numbers for me for the the Chiefs defense. They're 4-0 against the AFC West team. So they're beating up on some bad teams in their own division. Outside of them, they're 4-4. Their points per game are up 17 points. There's a 17-point difference. Mm-hmm. So they have been making their hay against a bad division.
So Brady should have a great game. I'm excited to have the excuses when he
gets back on track.
I'm going to go with my homeboy, but a slight edge. I think Tom Brady has a more productive outing than we saw him last Sunday against the Texans. I think it's going to be one of those situations where these guys go back and forth, but I'm going to give the slight edge to Pat Mahomes.
I don't think it's a slight edge. I think it's a massive edge. I think Patrick Mahomes has an excellent game. I think Brady has a 2019 Tom Brady game, which is maybe one touchdown, a whole bunch of pass attempts with the completion percentage south of 60%, and maybe a few garbage time points, because I don't think the Chiefs are going to win. I think the Chiefs can beat them by double digits in Foxborough. So Patrick Mahomes, without question.
I'll sit on your corner, Danny.
All right, there we go. All right, I'll tag you on that tweet when I send it out to Nick after that game.
I thought you blocked me on Twitter.
No, just mute it.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.